I don't want your podcast. What is up, party people? Welcome to Movie Battle. I am your host, Kevin Armstrong. This is episode 3, Varsity Blues versus Remember the Titans. Yes, it is that time of the year when football season has started at high schools and colleges and pro camps all across the country. This year is a little different. High school, some states, they are playing as normal. A lot have postponed until 2021. Some have canceled just outright. It's going to be interesting. My heart feels it for all those players that have trained their whole lives, especially the seniors. Hopefully they get to play. Colleges, that's a different story. The pros seem to be going business as usual as now. I'm interested to see how this is all going to turn out. But I am a huge football fan. I played football when I was in high school. So both of these movies definitely speak to me very dearly. Coming up soon, we're going to have two super fans speak very high on both movies. And they should, because these are two of the classics. First off, Varsity Blues is the story in West Cannon, Texas, where football is a way of life and losing is not an option. The players must deal with the pressures of adolescence and their football-obsessed community. Varsity Blues was directed by Brian Robbins, who, if you remember the ABC sitcom Head of the Class, he played Eric from 1986 to 1991. Brian has also directed several other sports-related films such as Ready to Rumble, Hardball, and Summer Catch. The movie was written by Peter Iliff, and it was released on January 15, 1999. It had a budget of $16 million and grossed $54.3 million. The movie opened at number one at the box office and stayed there for 2 weeks. It stars James Vanderbeek, John Voight, the late Paul Walker, and Ron Lester, Scott Kahn, Amy Smart, Ali Larder, and Tony Perensky as Miss Davis. The plot of the movie, Jonathan Mox is an academically gifted backup quarterback who's not really obsessed with football like his dad and the rest of the town. He dreads playing for Coach Bud Kilmer. His girlfriend is Jules Harbor, and they kind of mock all the people in town who are so football crazed until Jules' brother Lance, who is also Mox's best friend and superstar quarterback, has a severe knee injury and Mox is thrust into playing time. When he becomes QB1, he kind of has a different perspective when he's the talk of the town and everybody loves him, including Lance's pretty cheerleader girlfriend, Darcy, who attempts to seduce him with the famous whipped cream bikini. Mox bucks Kilmer and starts calling his own plays. Kilmer is not a big fan of this, and he threatens to alter Mox's transcripts. Mox has a scholarship to Brown that he has earned academically. This movie just has so many characters. There's so many great storylines in here. I can go crazy with just the football, you know, stats and play calling and all that kind of stuff. When star running back Wendell gets injured, Kilmer wants him to take cortisone shots to go back in and play. And he's willing to go do it because there's recruiters there. But Mox intercedes and Kilmer assaults him. Kilmer does not come back after that. And Lance Harbor actually ends up calling the plays. And good old Billy Bob scores the game-winning touchdown. Kilmer will leave town and never coach again. Varsity Blues, that's just a great movie. Just a great, great, great tale about teenage bonds and friendship and just how they triumph over their the tyranny of a dictator coach. The writer of the movie read an article in the San Francisco Chronicle on Jerry Rice running the oop-de-oop offense when he was at Mississippi Valley State and just kind of ran with it. Most football fans would know the no-huddle and spread offenses are pretty common nowadays in football. the script for the movie, when it was originally being optioned, the Varsity Blues producers were committed to Friday Night Lights, but they loved the script, but they didn't want to do two high school football movies at the same time. When Friday Night Lights was pushed back, they approached the writers again, but the scripts had been optioned to someone else. Well, that person eventually would find themselves in bankruptcy court along with the script, and after about a year, they were able to acquire this. The original director of the movie was Daniel Stern, from Home Alone and also the narrator on The Wonder Years. He was fired after a month, and that's when they went with Robbins, who was hot off of Good Burger. They wanted a fresh voice for the script, so they brought in John Geddens to help with the rewrite. He's actually the one who came up with the whipped cream bikini and the very religious younger brother. In the original script, Tweeter committed suicide. So that was probably a good change, and that was just kind of change to Billy Bob having his suicidal thoughts and Mox kind of inspiring him and talking him out of that. They really wanted to get this movie out before Friday Night Lights. They wanted to be the first big one in that kind of race to have the high school football movie out at that time. And one of the best things, Vanderbeek's famous "I Don't Want Your Life" speech, he literally wrote it out phonetically on his script, and you can see that just so he could get his Texas accent exactly how he wanted. So we'll have a super fan, Neil Woodliffe, coming up very soon, and he's going to break down Varsity Blues for us. Remember the Titans is a biographical film that is based on a true story, produced by Jerry Bruckheimer and Disney Films, directed by Bo Jackin and written by Gregory Allen Howard, who was an unaccredited writer for Glory Road and most recently co-wrote and co-produced Harriet. The film stars Denzel Washington, Will Patton, Donald Faison, Nicole Ari Parker, Wood Harris, Ryan Hurst, Ethan Suplee, Ryan Gosling, Hayden Panettiere, and Kate Bosworth. It was released September 29th, 2000. It had a budget of $30 million and grossed $136.7 million at the box office. Begins in 1981 with players and coaches attending the funeral. The story takes place in 1971. T.C. Williams High School in Alexandria, Virginia is integrated. Herman Boone, the African-American head coach, is hired. And Caucasian coach Bill Yost, who is at the time being nominated to the Virginia High School Hall of Fame, he is eventually hired as the defensive coordinator. He didn't want to, and there's protests, a lot of just racial unrest throughout this whole movie. Boone at first refuses to take the head coaching job out of respect to Yost, but he is persuaded by seeing what it means to the African American community have him as the coach. So once they get started and going, the team has a intense, I don't even know if that word does it justice, training camp at Gettysburg College. Now Boone tells Yost that black and white does not matter to him, and that really kind of brings them together. There are racial clashes, even between the captains. But once they go on a run to the Gettysburg Cemetery and there's motivational speech, they start getting together and playing together as a team. When they get back, the board tells Boone that if they lose even one game, he will be dismissed. But they don't. And the team really comes together, even going as far as getting Ray Buds removed from the team when he misses a block that causes Rev Harris to get hurt. As we get to the climax, Yost is told he will be inducted into the Hall of Fame if they lose the game. And during the game, he realizes that the board has rigged the game. After it, Gary is injured in the car crash, then he becomes a paraplegic. The team is very motivated, and they make a giant comeback in the state championship and win it. And as we find out towards the end of the movie, Gary is killed 10 years later, again in an auto accident by a drunk driver. Just Remember the Titans, another great movie and lots of lessons about this. This is definitely a movie that is taught in schools. Roger Ebert said it is a parable about racial harmony yoked to the formula of a sports movie. Victories over racism and victories over opposing teams alternate so quickly that sometimes we're not sure if we're cheering for tolerance or touchdowns. Real life is never this simple, but that's what the movies are for. All right. So, again, Remember the Titans, based on a true story. So I have some items here. In the movie, Cheryl, who's played by Hayden Panettiere, she lives with her father and is an only child. In real life, she was one of four children and lived with her mother. And in the movie, of course, she is just football crazed. Real life, she went to the games and watched them. It wasn't as excessive. In the movie, she's extremely angry when Herman Boone is given the head coaching job and is sure to let everybody know. And again, in real life, she wasn't as aggressive and angry. In the movie, she accepts him and goes over to his house to watch games films with him and becomes friends with his daughter. In real life, Boone said that she never visited his home. And of course, in the movie, Sunshine has the big kiss on Gary, and in real life, that didn't happen. In the movie, Boone makes the team get up at 3 a.m. and run to the Gettysburg Cemetery. In real life, that didn't happen. In the movie, Alexandria, Virginia in 1971 is depicted as a town torn apart by racial tensions and the forced integration of two high schools, one all black, one all white. In real life, Adrian T. Washington, who attended T.C. Williams when it opened in 1965, wrote in the Washington Times that there was resistance to federally mandated desegregation in Alexandria in the 1960s, but the opening of T.C. Williams High School in the fall of 1965, not 71, forced whites and blacks to attend school together for the first time. In 1971, when the schools were consolidated after even more federal pressure, that came half a decade after the harmonious interracial relationships the film highlights had already been forged. In the movie, Coach Tyrell takes issue with the idea that Boone could be a head coach. He says that Coach Yost has been nominated to the Virginia High School Hall of Fame. In real life, there was no Coach Tyrell. All right. So, coming up, we've got super fans. Justin Guthrie for Remember the Titans, Neil Woodliffe for Varsity Blues. We'll be right back with more Movie Battle. All right, welcome back to Movie Battle. Our first guest is Varsity Blues super fan, Neil Woodliffe. Neil is originally from Creedmoor, North Carolina. He went to UNC Chapel Hill. He currently lives in Raleigh, North Carolina with his girlfriend Mandy and their celebrity dog, Minnie, that you can follow on Instagram. Neil works for North Carolina Farm Bureau Insurance and is an avid Baltimore Orioles fan who enjoys Chaps pit beef and a roast grill hot dog every now and then. Neil, welcome to Movie Battle.
Thank you, Devin. Thanks for having
me. Glad to have you here.
Exciting to be here.
How would your parents describe what you do for a living?
Yeah, I think they have a difficult time. They know that this time of year I get a little nervous and antsy with all the storms. I'm in the insurance claims world, so they know that every year or two I get sent away for 4 or 5 months at a time to help assist manage some catastrophe responses. But other than that, they think I either ride around a lot during the day or sit around in the office, just kind of twiddling my thumbs.
Nice to say at the church luncheon and everything. All right.
Who plays you in a movie about your life?
Well, I think that's obvious. The only choice is Jason Alexander, because he is the only person that can probably out Neil.
He definitely has some Neil qualities. He's, the charisma.
Yes.
I think it's close. Yeah, I think that might be the most perfect match we've had in movie battle history. Neil, what is your go-to movie snack?
Go-to movie snack. In the theater, it's usually Junior Mints. Junior Mints.
Very refreshing.
They are. They're very refreshing.
Neil, you are a Varsity Blues super fan. What is it you love so much about the film?
I mean, you got Dawson Leary, Texas high school football, Academy Award winner John Voight, and a whipped cream bikini. I think that explains it all.
It's a strong playbook. How old were you when you first saw Varsity Blues?
It came out in 99. So I believe I was right at about 24. So 24 years old. I just started my career with Farm Bureau not long after this movie came out. So I think I saw it in the theaters back then. And, you know, as fun as it was in the theaters, you know, it's kind of attained that cult classic kind of aura about it since then. And that's, it's just one of those movies when you're flipping through the channels and see it on USA or TNT or whatever that you tend to watch it. So then when you go back and watch it, maybe the theatrical version, the uncensored version, you realize, it's a big difference there, big difference, but good in either venue.
Have you ever watched Varsity Blues and thought to yourself, if I shave my facial hair, I could go get some cleats and shoulder pads, and maybe I could go re-enroll at a local school and just, you know, play a little high school football?
Well, you know, in looking at that movie as they pan through the locker room on the various occasions, I did think that high school football team seemed to appear to be one of the oldest groups of players I've ever seen on high school football club. So, you know, I thought you might could pull that off. You know, you kind of the surly, go-to motivator of the team, you know, the grizzled veteran almost. I could pull that off.
Grizzled veteran, there you go.
I could pull that off.
You definitely can pull that off. All right. I got to know. This is a staple of movie battle. Did you learn anything from Varsity Blues?
Yes, I learned that apparently the no-huddle spread offense was created by Mox Moxon when he took over for Lance Harbor. Until that moment, the only place I think that had run that offense was it Missouri Valley State or something, bringing it to the forefront then? Mississippi Valley State,
Jerry Rice. Oh, yeah.
Yes, yeah, they were the ones bringing it up. And the I learned that was kind of, that might have been the launching pad. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't Mississippi Valley State. It apparently was Varsity Blues. All these college coaches must have loved that movie to jump on the bandwagon and go with it.
You know, it's funny you say no huddle offense, because I never hear yes huddle offense.
That would be a good descriptor. Yeah, I mean, I think that's getting, that would be a good way for the announcers to describe it. I mean, think about if your announcers had had that available to them. You know, they're going to the yes huddle offense right now. Games would have been more fun to listen to.
It kind of goes back to the whole disgruntled and gruntled argument. All right, Neil, you are a Varsity Blues super fan, as we mentioned before. What is the main message of Varsity Blues?
Well, you know, when you cut through all the antics, all of the, as I rewatched it and realized, things did not age very well from 99 to 2020, the political incorrectness that the movie contains, you know, the underlying theme to me comes down to its loyalty, it's friendship and it's a little bit of heroism in it. You know, Mox is the hero. You know, you've got the dark, you know, overwhelming overlord figure, you know, Bud Kilmer. You know, he runs the town, you know, he controls everything and he pushes people past the point they really should be pushed to and mistreats them. And you know, Mox comes in and he does things for his friends. You know, he gets Billy Bob back in the saddle. You know, he's the only person who visits Lance in the hospital. If you go back and watch the movie, you know, it's a good story of friendship if you cut through everything else, you know, all the antics. You know, the loyalty that's there to him and his teammates. You know, he gets Wendell his touchdowns, you know, after Kilmer's been, you know, pretty much keeping him out of the end zone, making him be the workhorse up until then. And, you know, then you got just the whole hero role. You know, it all comes back to Mox as the hero. So it gives a good statement to all that, in my opinion.
Mox is a pretty stand-up guy.
He is. You know, I have a hard time calling him Mox. It always falls back to, you know, I always want to call him Dawson.
Well, it's funny that your counterpart in the movie battle, Remember the Titans, Wood Harris is in that.
Avon
Barksdale.
Yes. Let's see that.
All right, well, back to Varsity Blues. Was there anything you didn't understand about it, or was there anything you would want to change?
You know, part of me thinks, like, would the movie have been better had they lost the final game? I'm always, you know, in movies where you kind of see it coming, you know, the hero wins out. But I think sometimes a good message is you don't always have to be a winner to be a hero. And you look and say, well, you know, with what happened with Kilmer, him leaving the stadium named after him, walking away, or forced away, I should say. You know, was the win really necessary for the kind of the vindication for them to have over him in the end? Yeah, I kind of wonder, well, you know, what would have been like if they'd come up just short? They all still would have, you know, felt like they won. But, you know, other than that, I think, you know, the only other thing I might would have changed is, you know, I mean, you know, Billy Bob was playing, you know, what, you know, right guard instead of left tackle with a right-handed throwing quarterbacks. I mean, you got a guy that big, you got to put him on the left side, guard the blind side. That's might be splitting hairs. But
textbook analysis.
Just throwing that out there.
Maybe you should talk to EA Sports and get your own video game series.
I could do that. I think I did. They modeled one after me in the, I think, the early 90s called Leisure Suit Larry. You should look it up.
Leisure Suit Larry reference. It's a movie battle first. All right. Well, Neil, you get one quote. What is your favorite quote of Varsity Blues?
Man, that's tough. That's tough. It, you know, it had so many, you know, and everybody always goes to Mox and the Texas draw with his dad saying, "I don't want your life." But my favorite quote from this movie is from Billy Bob when they're getting in the truck at the beginning, when they're all getting picked up, and his little buddy is in the front seat with him, Bacon. And he looks at him and he says, "I sure do love that dog." Love that quote. Of all the quotes in the movie, it's my favorite.
That's a good note to go out on. All right. Well, thank you, Neil, and best of luck in the battle.
Thank you.
All right, I will call you. I will send you right back, and we'll do the group battle link.
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you. Welcome back to Movie Battle. Our next guest is Remember the Titans superfan Justin Guthrie. Justin is from Raleigh, North Carolina. He attended East Carolina University, where he majored in criminal justice. He currently works for the Morrisville, North Carolina Police Department and resides in Raleigh. Justin, welcome to Movie Battle.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Justin, who plays you in a movie about your life?
Yeah, so this was a pretty serious debate amongst me and my friends. And we kind of narrowed it down to two possibilities, either Zach Galifianakis or the late, great Robin Williams.
Ooh, yes. Yes, that's a tough call. that's a tough call. We go way back. Yeah. I kind of like the Galifianakis. I wasn't headed in that direction, but now that you say it, yeah, absolutely.
I think, yeah, and everybody was saying there's more the beard than anything else, and I'm kind of goofy too, so I guess it fits better.
Okay. Hey, man, you're a one-man wolf pack. That's what All right. Justin, what is your go-to movie snack?
Oh, man. Back in the day, it used to be Twizzlers. I don't know. I kind of switch it up now, but I guess if I had to choose one, it would probably be Twizzlers.
Twizzlers. I am a big Twizzlers guy myself. So, good call there. You are a Remember the Titans super fan. What is it you love so much about the film?
It's one of those, I hate to use the word, you know, the phrase timeless classic, but I mean, it's, you can't help but say that. And it's just one of those feel good movies. And I mean, because, you know, it came out in like when I was in college. And, you know, it's movies like this, movies like, you know, some of the other ones like Mighty Ducks and Sandlot and all that stuff. It takes me back to the days when we used to play football in the little lot next to your house, man. And it's just, it's one of those that it makes you think, it makes you remember. It's just, I don't know, it's just all around a great movie.
It is a great movie. Did you learn anything from Remember the Titans?
You know, the simple thing that, you know, we might look a different color, we might be a different gender or whatever, but I mean, we're all human. We all, you know, strive for the same things, and, you know, just because we might look different doesn't mean that we are any different. So
that's well said, Justin. Yeah, this is a movie that definitely, like you said, it came out when we were in college, and I'm sure that it is taught in classrooms today. I can just imagine it being in middle school and watching this in a class, social studies or health or whatever. It's just a very good inspirational film, and you can learn a lot from it.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
What would you say is the main message of Remember the Titans?
You know, I would say that's probably the main message, is that, you know, it's not what you look like. It's not, you know, what you can or can't do. It's who you are as a person. And, you know, it doesn't matter. Differences don't really make a difference. You can have people from completely different walks of life and come together and achieve greatness.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. That's very good, Justin. Thank you. Was there anything you didn't understand about Remember the Titans, or would you change anything?
No, I pretty much understood everything. And I think the only things I would change, but it would make the movie probably 4 or 5 hours long. I wish they had a little bit more time for some of that character development, because it and I know that's been a big criticism about the movie, is that it played too softly on the racism, and, you know, it didn't really address that and do it in kind of like a hard hitting way. But, you know, again, that would make the movie about 4 hours long. But I mean, they seemed to show the adversity and wrap it up, and everything was all good and hunky dory a little quick. But I mean, again, you know, they had 2 hours to work with, so I mean, it's understandable.
So maybe they could actually, like, the movie's on Disney Plus now. If Disney Plus did like Friday Night Lights was a TV show, if they made a TV show on Remember the Titans, you would watch that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, actually not a bad idea. So what was your favorite part of Remember the Titans?
I would have to say the end of the movie where they're playing that final team. You know, Gary Bertier had gotten into the car accident, and he was kind of the heart of the team, him and his friend Julius.
Yep.
And so they had that internal struggle now going on. They're down one of their best players, one of the best guys on the team. Then they're also still battling the outside factors of the people that are against segregation and the, all the racist, you know, tones and everything else. So they've got all this going on. And, you know, at that halftime, you know, they basically sit there and tell the coach, or, you know, or the coach tells them, you know, look, you're doing all right. You're doing the best that you can do, essentially considering everything that's going on, you know, and that's all anybody can ask of you. And, you know, Julius, you know, steps up and he says, you know, no, we're not doing as good as we can. You know, you taught us to do more, to be more, you expected more of us. And, you know, that's the way we need to play. And I remember the quote pretty well. Is he said, yeah, I hope you boys have learned as much from me this year as I've learned from you. You know, you've taught this city how to trust the soul of a man rather than the look of him. And I mean, that right there is the heart of the movie. It's trusting the soul of a person, not what they look like on the outside.
Well, that's powerful stuff. I like that, Justin. I'm very excited for this upcoming battle. I can't wait to hear what you have to say.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, I will talk to you soon. Best of luck.
All right, buddy.
All right. All right, party people. Welcome back. It's the moment you've been waiting for. Varsity Blues versus Remember Titans. The movie battle. Up first, my man, representing Remember the Titans, Justin Guthrie. Justin, talk to me.
I don't even know what there is more to say about this movie. If you haven't seen it, I don't know what rock anybody's been living under, but it's one of those movies that, you know, it stands the test of time. I mean, it takes back, you know, during the segregation stuff, but I mean, the theme of the movie could even be pretty relevant to stuff that's going on in society today. It's one of those movies that, you know, makes you think, it's makes you feel, it, you know, just does a whole lot of stuff and gets a good message out there. Plus it's got football and Denzel, so, you know, you can't go wrong with that.
And it's quite the combination. Great soundtrack as well.
Oh yeah. Fabulous soundtrack.
All right. Well, Neil, Varsity Blues.
Well, you know, Remember the Titans, great movie. Can't dispute that. You know, Varsity Blues has all those pieces that he just described Remember the Titans has. You know, it speaks to some issues that go on. They're going on today. It's got the hero against the evil, you know, overlord who has been, you know, ruining young kids' lives, using their bodies at their expense for, you know, his success. Which, I mean, when you've got what, two state titles in 30 years, but 23 district championships, you know, that's like Bobby Cox numbers right there. So, you know, that's good numbers, but I don't know how you quite rule a town with that. But, you know, you've got Denzel. Incredible actor, Academy Award winner. I got John Voight, Academy Award winner. You know, he's great. Both of us got football. I've got Dawson Leary, you know, James Vanderbeek, who does as excellent a Texas drawl in this movie as you could ask for from anyone.
From Dawson.
Yeah, from Dawson. I mean, it's, you know, the one thing, another thing I might would have changed, Kevin asked earlier about this movie, I probably would have had Joshua Jackson in there somewhere, you know, to have Pacey in the movie with him also.
Keep that in the mix.
Yeah, but, you know, I think what might put this movie over the top and make it that rewatchable type movie that kind of gives you all these social issues and all this idea of, you know, heroism and Mox doing things for his friends, you know, is you got a whipped cream bikini in.
I knew that's where you were gonna go.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of bad. You hate to play that card, but
it is undeniable. It's undeniable. Yeah,
you know, it was. As much as I hate to say it, it's kind of an iconic movie scene at this point. So it stands the test of time, but Yeah, when you dig through it, the movie, to be an MTV movie, produced movie, which, mind you, Vanderbeek won a acting award for, I think, Kids' Choice and Teen Choice Awards, and also, I think, MTV Movie Awards for this thing. Don't know how many awards were won by Remember the Titans, but yeah, I've got those two in my pocket. you know, it's yeah, it's a movie that gives a good message. You know, you got to stand up for what's right, and you know, both these movies have that. So I think that's what makes them pretty comparable. It's like you're going to the beach, you're just taking two separate routes to get to the same place, and they're as different as they could be. So
yeah, and you're right about that iconic scene. You know, once another movie makes fun of that scene like they did in Not Another Teen Movie, you know that's mm-hmm. an instant classic scene right there. And I mean, yeah,
it is.
And you got some good points about some of your stars, but I mean, I'm thinking about the cast of Remember the Titans. You had a young Ryan Gosling and a young Kate Bosworth. You had, I don't even venture to say, a young Donald Faison, you know, before Scrubs and all that. And then, you know, Ethan Suplee, that was in My Name is Earl, and he's been in a bunch of other stuff. Hayden Panettiere, that was in not Lost, but Heroes. With your girl, Allie Larder. So we could have kind of a crossover there.
A lot of crossover.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, you very good point. I look at the list I had. You know, not only I had Dawson, I had John Voight. You know, I already mentioned him.
Yeah.
You know, young Scott Conn. I mean, how can you not think about Scott Conn in this movie? It's mm-hmm. Tweeter, who was probably the most inappropriate character in the movie and would not stand up to anything today in 2020 standards or really any standards. You know, we also had, you know, unfortunately, we had Paul Walker.
Yeah.
His first movie was, you know, which this movie also has a little bit of a sad, sad side to it. You know, Paul Walker's no longer with us. He's deceased. Ron Lester played Billy Bob. He passed away at a young age also. I think some health problems related to some weight surgery. And actually, the little brother of Mox, the one who was going through all the religious stages in the movie, he's missing. You know, he's never been seen again. His family, oh, wow. Nobody knows what happened to him. So you've got, you know, that kind of angle. But, you know, somebody else who's in this movie, I think might not be Ryan Gosling level, but can anybody tell me who actually played Lance's younger brother in this movie? Another football tie here.
I'm not sure.
Lance's younger brother. Oh, gosh. Yeah. I know it's Amy Smart's his sister.
Yeah. Amy Smart was his sister. She's in the movie, along with Allie Larder, on the female side. Jesse Plemons played his younger brother to go on the Landry in Friday Night Lights series.
Oh, yeah.
And you from Friday Night Lights. Wow.
Yeah. So,
he played a different character on Breaking Bad.
Yes, he did. Yes,
he did. Just a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So both movies got a little bit of, you know, a little bit of.
Yeah, they got some star
Hollywood,
power.
Hollywood power there. A little A-list action, or a minus list, maybe in some my case. But.
Yeah, both films have excellent, very excellent young casts. It's almost like you could do, if you made some fantasy football trades. Could you put Vanderbeek in Remember the Titans and Gosling play Mox? Certainly you could put John Voight somewhere in Remember the Titans.
Yeah, you could definitely switch Voight out with Will Patton, who played the assistant coach, or he was the head coach. Mm-hmm. That would have been a pretty good back and forth dynamic between those two, because, you know, like Neil said, I mean, John Voight's a hell of an actor. So, I mean, yeah, that would be pretty good.
I think we could do that. That would be a good switch. I'm not sure. You know, I don't have anybody I can put up against Denzel. So I don't have anybody I can put up against Denzel.
But. Yeah. And I'm going to spare the world a Denzel impression, because it wouldn't be pretty.
No, come on, Kev.
No. We're not going to go there. It's my wife questioned, "What are you doing? Who's that supposed to be?"
Hey, yeah. I still love the impression that you did of Doc Brown and Daddy Jones from one of the first podcasts. Man, that was right there on the money.
Yeah. We do some impressions on Movie Battle, and I guarantee there will be some impressions on here. Whether or not there's an acoustic set of the Foo Fighters song, that remains to be seen. But yes, both great movies. It's, you know, football season is right around the corner, possibly. It's a great time of year. Two great movies. For me, it's hard to choose. You know, one's supposed to be funny, but has some, you know, more drama. One is a drama, but it has some very funny parts. And just both definitely tackle on, you know, just issues between, you know, bonding and loyalty, friendship, and just overcoming, you know, obstacles. So I think this has been a terrific movie battle. Both of y'all have pleaded great cases. This one might have to go to the interwebs to decide.
Yeah.
So, Justin and Neil, thank you for participating in the movie battle, and best of luck to both of you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Kevin.
Thank you for listening to Movie Battle. Please subscribe and review. If you would like to support or leave a voice message, please go to our homepage on your favorite podcast platform. Please follow us on Twitter and Instagram, or like us on Facebook. Thank you for coming correct.